Good morning. You're really welcome. It's great to see you. My name's David, and with Alison, we're the senior pastors here. I just wanted to pick up on the that last song as we were singing Break Every Chain, Break Every Chain. I just felt that some people here who that resonated with them, and there's a chain that needs to be broken. So we're just going to pray for a moment, and if there's something which that means something to you, maybe it's an addiction, a compulsion you can't shake, or a relationship that's gone wrong, or maybe it's something that's happened to you which is just in your past, but it just has that little hold on you today, and stops you from escaping. I just want to pray for you that this will be a real opportunity for that chain to be broken. So would you like to pray with me? It's in your name, Jesus, that we come with chains that disable us and hold us back and keep us in dark places. Come out of the shadows every now and again and grab us. And we recognize that is not from you. It's a work of the enemy. And we pray today for those who are sitting there knowing what we're talking about, that you would come with your power, and that in the name of Jesus, you'll break those chains. I speak freedom to you in the name of Jesus, that those chains will be broken. Amen. That's a spiritual action which needs follow through. So if that's something that's happened for you today, you may or may not feel different, but I want you to follow through on it, talk to your house group leader, get somebody to pray with you, spend time on that and make sure that it is dealt with and history. David, there's a bottle of water in my bag. Can I have that? You're very welcome to this building. We've been renting this for nearly a year now. It's a 187-year-old Methodist church, not quite our style. So if you're visiting us, we didn't look for a place with pews, especially with pews with doors on, but it's in a great place, and we're growing to love it. We like to keep the doors open on the things so that people don't feel they're excluded, and I never yet had a chance to use these. Every Sunday we hide these behind the blue things, but we've got a chance to use them today. So we're going to interview three people, and two of them are going to get to sit on the thrones. I don't know what effect that will have. They look pretty uncomfortable. Yeah, you're not going to watch X Factor for long in that. I'm looking at a series on work at the moment. God at work. And today, I want to look at under the theme of God at work on me at work. Did you know that you're a very special individual? You are. I don't mean you're special in the way that they sometimes say. I mean you are really a special person. When God created you, he created you unique, completely different from anybody else. He loves you and made you as you are. And what he is doing and wants to do in the world through you is really very important and specific and individual. You may or may not be in the perfect job. You may or not be in paid employment even. But you're still firmly in God's eye line, in his sight line. He created you. He knows you. He has something for you. He loves you. He redeems you. And he wants something very special for you. He's at work on you at work. Even if your current circumstances aren't what you want, he can still be at work on you at work. Let me just pray. Lord, as we look at this subject of work and your celebration of it and involvement with us in your work, we ask you to bring some clarity and understanding. May we leave this morning better equipped to do what you've given us to do wherever that may be. Amen. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible's in your pews, and you may have the electronic means, and it'll be up on the screen as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11 says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, that should say languages, and to still another the interpretation of languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. It's a description of some of the different gifts, some of the different gifts of the Spirit. There's many others, but some of the different gifts of the Spirit given by God. And in the rest of the chapter, Paul goes on to talk about how we've all got different parts to play, and he uses the metaphor of the body. Different parts of the body make up the body. We've all got a different part to play. Now, when we think about these gifts, often we think about them in the context of a house group or a Sunday morning like this. But actually, I think that they spill over into the rest of our lives, into our work and into our studies. So if God gives you the gift of wisdom in spiritual ministry, I think it's also applicable in your work or in your studies, and that he can release in you the gift of wisdom at any point to enhance your already God-given gifts and talents. We just go on a little detour for a minute. We don't charge for this one. This is a freebie. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that we have a gift, of a spiritual gift, which becomes our identity. I don't think that's what's taught. So sometimes you hear people say, I have the gift of prophecy, therefore I am a prophet. I don't think that's right. I believe that God releases gifts to us on a need-to-use basis. So you don't have the gift of healing carefully tucked away in your pocket, ready to bring out at the point that you pray for somebody who's sick. No, it's when you take that step of faith and put your hand out to pray for somebody, at that point God releases the gift. God has made you, as I keep saying, completely different from one another, not just your fingerprints and your face shape, but your personality and your skills and your gift mix. So some of you are very good with people. You're good at caring. You know what to say in awkward situations, and you're good at talking, perhaps. My wife's in that category. Not just good at talking, she's good at caring for people and understanding what people are thinking. On the other hand, some of you find that really difficult, but you're great with numbers. There's your sheer enjoyment is to look at a spreadsheet and fill it in with lots of more formulas, and perhaps even to put another page on it and attach some graphs. As I can see some of you getting just thrilled thinking about it. Some of you are good with your hands. You can make things and you can mend things. You can change light bulbs. You can build and craft and maintain. You can see what could be and then you can make it happen. Some of you think in binary. You live in a different parallel digital universe. But because of your work, the rest of us can use these little boxes to make telephone calls and to read notes and to check the cricket results and all those important things. Some of you are creative. You're artists. And you can paint or write or make music or sculpt and form a new reality which helps the rest of us to see the world in a fresh way and in a different way. But would you like to just turn to the person next to you and just say, I'm glad God made me different from you. So, God is at work on me at work through through his equipping, through his gifts of the Holy Spirit, which he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he releases those gifts, and they enhance our natural abilities and skills. Let's look at another way in which he's at work in us, and then I'm going to interview some people about this. Galatians 5:22-23. Galatians 5:22-23 says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." God works on me at work through his Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Of course, we expect to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all that in church, don't we? It's easy, church. Well, it should be. But in the challenges and stresses and strains of life and work and study, that's where these fruit are grown. Not when it's easy, but when it's hard. When work puts us under pressure, that's when we find that Jesus, through the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives, transforms us and changes us. Doesn't equip us just with gifts. Yes, he does that. But he changes us to become more and more like him and to grow in these fruit day by day. Now, these three monkeys bear no resemblance to my three guests. It's nothing to do. It's a complete coincidence that picture's up there. But I'd like to introduce you to Ian Dowling, and Hannah Ripping, and Molly. Is she here? Come on. Oh, yes. Who's going to sit where? I think you look great at home on the thrones. Okay, we're going to spend a little time talking with these guys about these issues, okay? So let me ask you first to tell me, let's start with Ian. Tell us, when we're talking about work, okay, and work, as I've been talking over the last few weeks, means a lot of different things. For the purposes of this discussion, what do you mean? What's your work?
Okay, I'm an accountant by training. I love spreadsheets. But I hate graphs and pictures because I can't understand them. I can only understand the numbers. Okay. Currently, I work in an organization called the National Institute for Health Research, which is technically I'm employed by these teaching hospitals, but I actually work in a university building, and all my work is largely with universities, and we're funding individuals who are going to be health researchers for the future.
Great, thank you. Molly, what's work for you?
The past year, my main work has been writing and making art, and I also do bookkeeping for Leeds Vineyard, for Wharfdale Vineyard.
That's an interesting contrast in roles.
I find that God has a great sense of humor. Math classes have always made me cry, as has money. So I think that itself has been an interesting journey to be in that job.
Okay. And Hannah?
I am a mum, and I spend a lot of time at home, mainly at mum's groups, so half and half. Someone described it as a multi-generational worker. So we live with my parents at the moment, so I do a lot of cooking and cleaning. But I do a humongous amount for my grandparents who are in their late 80s. So I spend a lot of time doing their shopping and driving them places and taking them to the doctors and helping them understand technology, which I don't understand either. So I'm a multi-generational worker.
Multi-generational worker. That's a new one on me. Okay. Now, tell me, Hannah, what... we talk about spiritual gifts. Can you think of a way that the Lord has given you a spiritual gift which you may have identified in a church context first, perhaps, but it's clear that it has expression actually in what you describe as your work?
I suppose that would be teaching, or sort of pastor. Caring role is a very big part of that. As I say, with my grandparents in particular, caring for them is challenging at times because they don't always understand certain things. But teaching, obviously, with a two-year-old, and you know, since he's been born, that's might be my job to teach him walking, you know, running, jumping, the list of things that the health visitors give you that you have to tick. You think, oh no, he's not doing that. Quick, right, we better do jumping together at the same time. Quick, come on. Could
show us how you teach
jumping. It's very silly. No, it's fun. So yeah, teaching him to do like everything.
And when, because you haven't told them about before you had kids, what teaching, in what way did that emerge as a spiritual gift beforehand?
You mean when I worked for this church?
Well, not just working for the church, but just why did they describe that as a spiritual gift?
Why did I describe it as a spiritual gift? Oh, well, clearly, obviously, because it says it in the Bible. When I was thinking about what, you know, the questions David asked us to talk about, so I looked at that quite carefully because it's not very easy to, when you're not in a paid role. We were saying, talking about this in house group the other day, you don't have an appraisal or a boss that says this is what you do. I know what I do, but when I looked at it and I was looking through the Bible thinking, actually, what spiritual gift is it that I do? That would be something that caught my attention.
Yeah. From my point of view, I mean, knowing you a long time, I know that you've demonstrated the gift of teaching many times over the years, and the answer I wanted from you is because the people in the church have recognized that in you, that you have expressed that gift in the past. Molly, what's your spiritual gift?
I think that, like Hannah, teaching has been a spiritual gift for me as well. I trained originally as a teacher, so I have a degree in teaching English at the secondary level. So that's something that I've enjoyed doing in a classroom setting. But also, I spent a chunk of time working at a coffee shop, and so I also took on the role of teaching and training new employees coming in, and teaching them not only how to deliver drinks with good customer service, but also about history of coffee and best practices of coffee in growing regions and that sort of thing.
Great.
Yeah.
Ian, what about you?
Yeah, looking at the list of spiritual gifts, I thought, oh, gifts and the sort of work I have. And one of the ones which came to me was learning, sort of helping people with other languages, because finance is a language all of its own. And so being able to take financial information, particularly, and interpret it and help non-finance managers, particularly in my organisation now, where most of them have got science PhDs and that sort of thing, to understand the financial implications of things. But alongside that also, I think there's a great amount of balancing and interpreting ideas and discerning between government policies, etc., which come through in that sense.
It's interesting, isn't it, how the language morphs from sort of a spiritual language into a sort of a very practical day-to-day thing. Teaching can go between both, and that's a really good example of the way this works. Another one would be prayer. So you might feel that you have a spiritual gift for praying for people, and that's easy on a Sunday here when you ask you to pray for somebody or whatever. But maybe in your work life, you find that something's happening in the desk just down the road and just down the corridor, and somebody's in distress, and you immediately turn to prayer. And that's a spiritual gift expressed in the workplace for somebody over there. So there's that sort of morphing and that moving backwards and forwards as God releases his gifts to you. Yeah? That makes sense? Okay? Let's talk about fruit. In what part of your work, Ian, where have you hit challenges and difficulties and you thought, this is wonderful, I'm growing in fruit?
I think it's sometime afterwards, looking back, you think, I think I might have grown something in that area. At the time, it's not first and foremost on your mind. But I think looking at the fruits of the Spirit, that list, you know, which of them apply in a work situation? I think in different ways they all do. But one particular situation I had was with a boss, finance director in an organization. He had two ways of doing things, his way and the wrong way. So for me, I had to learn an awful lot of patience in working with him. And a little bit of self-control as well. Otherwise, I might not have stayed working for him for very much longer. But in that, we had to agree to differ, etc. And it ended up that the situation went so that he effectively sidelined me. And so then that approach to the work of actually saying, well, no, I'm going to do the work to the best of my ability. So that, trying to think which one of the fruits of that actually fits into, but it's certainly a lot about, if you like, faithfulness, both in terms of working the best to the employer, but also remembering that ultimately I only had the job because it was one that God had provided for me. That isn't my current role. My current role, Cindy, my wife, said this, I'm enjoying this role more than I have any other for many, many years. So it's good fun.
This past year and a half have been a big development of faith and patience, because about this month last year, I had officially quit one of my jobs so that I could write and paint. And having faith to do something that, with a lot of people's perceptions, including my own, looks very foolish. Why would you quit a job that pays you, that gives you consistent hours, and is something that you enjoy doing? And so that took a lot of faith to move into this current season. And in that, God's given me lots of opportunities to be patient and to have faith, trusting that He will provide financially and in every other way. And I think when I've worked in customer service roles, I've learned a lot about gentleness and kindness, learning how to best interact with individuals that are coming and wanting to be served, especially in a coffee shop when they're demanding exactly what they need. And even when they ask and you give that to them, they still aren't happy. So learning how to try to approach individuals with asking God, please help me love these people, please help me still have joy so that spills out onto them. I think working with people is really a good way to develop a lot of gifts.
One example for me would be a patience. But most parents will understand that. Being a mum is the best thing ever, but it's really hard sometimes. And also working with older people is wonderful, and I love my grandparents dearly, but they drive me up the wall. And it's knowing when's appropriate to step back and when you need to push for something to change. One example would be the first time Samuel had a proper tantrum, like complete losing control tantrum. Never had one before, was in Aldi in Meanwood. And I walked in the door and he just had a meltdown. And I just did not have a clue what to do. It was the first time he'd ever had a proper full-on tantrum, two-year-old tantrum. And everyone says, oh, two-year-old, you know, the twos are coming, it's horrendous. And I sort of thought, no, I'm not taking that on, you know. But he had this tantrum, and I found people staring at me a lot, and one lady tutted in my face because I obviously wasn't doing what she thought I should do, which was to smack him and tell him to be quiet. That was so hard for me in the middle of the supermarket, you know. And if you know Aldi and Meanwood, it's not the easiest supermarket. You can't hide away somewhere. I just thought, I've got to just keep really patient and let him have this out, because there's clearly something not okay with him right now. You know, he's having this meltdown for a reason, not for absolutely no reason. And, you know, I was on the edge of tears when he just suddenly calmed down. And this lady came up to me and she put her arm around me and she said, "You did so well. You are so patient." And I was like, "You couldn't have said that at nicer time." And that helped me learn about patience, because no matter what other people around me thought I should do, I knew that I had to just let him play it out and just keep calm myself. Because actually giving him a smack on the bottom wasn't going to change anything. It would have made it worse. And I'm sure the staff in Aldi would have struggled with that as well. So patience is a big part of what I'd say, and love as well. As I say, I love looking after Samuel, and I love being a mum and love being a wife, and making home is a big part of who I am, and I enjoy that immensely. And I think that I have to ask God to give me that love all the time, because sometimes my granddad, bless him, when we lived we lived in mum and dad's house, and they were living with us when granddad was really poorly. And he was harder work than Samuel at times. And I had to ask God to give me love for him, because even though I really did love him, he was really, really hard work. And sometimes I was like, "Would you just, for goodness sake, just do as you're told, will you, please?" And so that is a massive thing. So I have to ask the Lord for that all the time.
It's great. It's very interesting, isn't it? How you, as they've been talking, I'll bet you've been thinking, okay, that's where I've been growing. Or that's a gift that I've been able to see God use in me at work. And change me. And that's part of what it means to follow Jesus, is to allow his Holy Spirit to fill us, to release those gifts and to grow fruit in us. And so when times are difficult, we're expecting a return, something to change. These are three good examples, and I could have picked many other people in the church to illustrate the same thing. People using different skills and different gifts of the Spirit in different ways, and seeing fruit grow in their lives after different situations. There's no hierarchy in this. It's not as though God is more present in a missionary than in an electrician, or in a doctor than in somebody who's self-employed. He still releases his gifts to you, whatever your situation. He still grows his fruit in you if you'll let him. We're all different. We're all differently equipped with God different given skills and gifts for God to use in us in work, whatever that work is. We're also all inspired by the presence of Jesus in our lives to become more like him as he takes us through different situations in life and work. God is at work on you at work. I just want to pray through that a bit, give you an opportunity to respond and to ask God what he's doing in terms of releasing his spiritual gifts and in terms of growing fruit in your life. But before we do that, one of the things we do here is to gather words of knowledge from time to time to help us in praying for each other. And that's simply another spiritual gift. So I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord to release spiritual gifts to us right now. And if you get a word of knowledge or a prophecy or a scripture or something, can I be a bit prescriptive? Not your favorite thought, not your favorite scripture, but something specific. I think God is saying this now. Often when I pray this, what will happen is God will speak to you. If he does, that's fine. Keep that to yourself. This is if you get something for somebody else or somewhere else. Okay? So, Lord, I thank you for your presence here, and I just ask that you will release your gifts right now as we wait on you. Amen. If you've got something, would you like to share it? That includes you three.
Someone or maybe multiple people that struggle with fear related to work, whether it's being afraid to go to work, being afraid to be who you are at work or being afraid to carry out specific tasks.
I think the example I gave was about somebody who is very difficult to work with, a line manager. And I think God wants to just, if there's other people here, I think maybe one or two or even more, who have got really difficult line managers, that God wants to really be with you in that situation, and he wants to equip you to actually move forward in that. And so he wants to just anoint you in that now.
You might be here thinking you're in the wrong job. Anne was just saying that she thinks that there's an opportunity for God to speak to you about that. I was praying about chains earlier on, Colin's saying he feels somebody has said to themselves, my chain is too strong, it's too big. And he had a picture of those big anchor chain things and a huge pair of bolt cutters cutting them. Just let me explain something about that. When I was praying, when I've been in meetings where that's often prayed about, there's sort of the temperature's usually raised a bit and it's ramped up a bit and hyped up a bit to really break the chain. I don't, this is not an emotional or a thing. It's not an emotionalistic thing. This is God. This is Jesus who can break a chain. It doesn't have to be hyped up. So the fact that there wasn't lots of noise and stuff is great. And if you disconnected that thing, oh, it's not big enough to break my chain, he can and he will. And let's pray for that. Okay, maybe your chain, your addiction or whatever it is something to do with food. That might be a trigger. If you're struggling with the change thing, freedom is the word. Hope for the future. Hope for the future connected with your work and more fulfillment in your work, in the current work or a different work. In the current work, yeah. Karen and then Kate. Okay, so it's a picture of somebody going to work and putting on a different set of clothes because they feel that they can't be the person that they are on Sunday, they can't be that person at work, and put in a different outfit. Last one, Kate. Kate can see a picture of a line, a thin line, a hairline, and the impression she got is that once that line is crossed, that means you're walking away from the job. That's it. It's over. Go on.
Related to some of the talk Anne said, I had a sense that God wanted to, if you feel that you're in the wrong job, but it's also about calling, what's God calling you to, and your identity and what... I just had a sense that some people feel like they're in a job and, oh, this is my lot and I have to get on with it. But it's actually God wants to call you into what he wants you to do, and it's about his calling on your life. And that can be for everybody, not just pastors. Or, you know, it's that feeling of what's God calling me to do.
Thank you. Last one. Definitely the last one. Okay, somebody in a living room on the wrong, afraid to come out of the bay window and outside. It doesn't mean much to me, but it might mean something to you. It seems to be something to do with taking a step or moving across a line. That's enough. That's enough to trigger off. I can't remember what they all were now. So I'm going to invite you to stand. If you'd like to stand, and we'll pray. The children are waiting, so we're going to let them wait for just a little bit longer. And what I'd like you to do is whatever, if any of those words that were shared prompt something in you, we'd love to pray for you. So these guys here would love to pray for you. But I'm just going to pray from here, and then I just want you to receive and let the Holy Spirit work, you know, do his stuff with you right now and do business with you in whatever that area is. And then I'll explain how to get prayer. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Thank you for your presence. I pray that you will touch the heart of every person here who is being prompted by something you've shared, or who's just walked in this morning saying, I need you, God. Would you come now, and would you speak to them one-to-one personally? Would your Holy Spirit come and touch them? Now let him come. This is the living God who loves you. Let him come. Let him come. Let him come with his peace and his love and his healing touch. Let him come. Yeah. Bless what you're doing. Around the room, I can see lots going on. If you're engaged with God, just stay as you are. If you're a leader in this church, have a look around, and if you see the Holy Spirit ministering to somebody, just go and lay a hand on them and bless what God is doing. Don't interrupt them unless they ask to be interrupted. Just bless what God is doing. If you've not been here before, all these people are doing is just, they're just praying, thank you God for what you're doing. I pray that you'll heal them. If you want to tell them what it's about, do. If you don't bother. It's fine. They may share a word with you. They're not going to shout at you. They're not going to quote Bible at you. They're not going to give you they're just going to bless you. Those of you who are not engaged, and you're on the team. If you're a regular here, you know what to do. So we're going to carry on praying. If you haven't got anybody praying for you, you'd like them to, just come to the front here. I've got Ian and Hannah here. They'll be happy to minister to you. Otherwise, our service is about as over as it's going to be. If you've got children, please would you go and get them, but then do, by all means, come back and ask for more prayer. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard this morning. Have a great week.